Good morning, my friends, fellow travelers on the journey. Skip here, and I do hope everything is well with you. 5:30 a.m., it's a Monday, March 25th. Rainy, strange, cold, warm. It's cold and lightning and thunder out. It's just springtime in Iowa is weird. I have 3 more days in my current assignment as a substitute teacher. And it has been a real challenge, but it's been, you know, often the hard things like spirituality, the hard things are the good things. And so I will miss the kids, but I'm ready to have a little break. So I've saved the last 2 days of this week to kind of catch up on some things and rest. And so I hope that for you. I hope you have rest in your life. It occurred to me that I have not done a series in a while. So I want to start a series today. I don't know how long it'll be, maybe 3 podcasts on God and barriers. Sounds like a strange combination, doesn't it? We're going to talk a little theology. We're going to talk about the barriers also that keep us from our true self. And somewhere, I think these two things intersect. We're going to find out. I thought about giving a podcast on 2 separate issues, but I want to spend a little more time than 15 minutes unpacking these particular subjects. So, God and the barriers that exist. I spent a lot of time thinking about theological issues. That is the study of God, the study of a superior being. I have a degree in religion. I have been certified through the courses of study at a seminary. I spent 20 years actually talking, exploring, and trying to understand theological issues. But there was always this sort of thing in the back of my mind that felt as though I was missing something when it came to the understanding of God, or if there is a God, or what that God would be. The first thing we have to talk about is the barrier of the word God. That word is so loaded that it probably is not even being, I probably shouldn't even use it. The minute you say the word God, it triggers in people and elicits all sorts of responses. Good, bad, right, wrong, you name it. The real question is, you know, is there a superior intelligence at work in this cosmic place, this universe? Is there something that intervenes, or something that guides, or an energy, a spirit that pervades? And so what I'm about to share with you has a lot to do with my own personal understanding, take it or leave it. But always in the sense of full disclosure, you probably deserve to know where I stand on some topics, and this is one of them. I am inclined, because of experiences, not because of belief, but because of experiences, I am inclined to say that there are realities beyond ours that, from our perspective, we cannot comprehend all those realities. And it is possible that there is a an intelligence at work behind the workings of our reality. However, that's as far as I'm willing to go. Now, it took me a long time to get to that simple place. Because, you know, I adhered to standard models for years. And I studied. My degree is in the standard models of belief. So I'm willing to believe that there is an energy I'm struggling for words with it, that there is an intelligence here that is based in love, only love. Not in dogma, not in doctrine, not in concepts about who historical figures are or were not. But because of my experience of love, my experience of transcendence, I'm willing to say that there is more to reality than we can accept or understand. And a part of that may be some sort of superior energy or intelligence. However, one of the barriers that I want to talk about in the next couple podcasts are the ideas and concepts we put on words like God, or words like morality, or words like faith. Because when I say those words, what instantly pops up with people are the things that we were taught to think, the things we were taught to believe about what those words may mean. And so I think it's good for us to start with something as profound as our conceptual thinking around God, which is one of the, you know, most dearly held sort of notions that people have. Now, if these ideas and concepts are barriers, what are they barriers of? Well, I'm convinced that, more than convinced, that deeply intuitive voice that you may have, I know I have, I know everyone has, but you may hear, sometimes you may not, that deeply intuitive voice, that gut feeling that guides us, is really our higher self. And what connects us to that superior love that is really our own authenticity, that we have named God or named whatever, is that higher self. And the barriers to that higher self, that more authentic self, are really what we're going to talk about in the next few episodes. And I'm going to circle back always to this idea and these concepts of God, because one of the great sad ironies of my spiritual journey, truly, truly tragic, is that everything I thought I knew or was taught about who God may or may not be has really interfered and put up barriers between me and my higher self. Spirituality is about discovering your higher self, your more authentic self. And then we look at the things that keep us from that. And one of them is notions of theology. You know, there are others, and we're going to talk about it in the next few episodes. Think about everything you were taught about who God is, right? I don't know your background. I know mine. Well-intended people, bringing their ideas to church from and to church communities. I remember there was a church, mainline denominational church, who would have neighborhood vacation Bible schools where I grew up. And, you know, these people were not evil. They did not have ill will or ill intent. They were convinced they were good. And they meant no harm. But, you know, God was a gray-haired old man in the sky. Jesus was his son. Jesus died so that you could know the old gray-haired man in the sky. Now let's make some, you know, let's cut out some paper crosses and color them, and that's it, right? And so even though these people were well-intended, they did a lot of harm, and they put up barriers unbeknownst to me, to my understanding of myself, my understanding of my higher self, my understanding of that part of me that can comprehend what that superior intelligence may be, what that transcendent intelligence may be. Because they implanted in me, unbeknownst to them, these ideas that prevented me from exploring that. And I did the same thing. Right, I spent 20 years in a mainline denomination, probably trying to teach something a little more in depth than, you know, God's an old gray-haired man, but still perpetuating concepts that people wanted to cling on to, and that clinging on to these concepts, these ideas, circumvent the full exploration of who and what God may actually be. That's the sad irony of that barrier. I am sure, at least for me, there is something beyond what it means to be human at work. But the communicative part of that is my higher self. And what we have done through theological concepts is circumvented that. And I had to shake that off in order to continue my journey. Now, once I shook it off as a career, I was able to look back and say, oh yeah, I never really did believe God was the gray-haired guy in the sky. But in order to collect a paycheck, in order to do what the world said I needed to do, in order to climb the ladders of the false reality, I adhered to those notions, and that's what we do. And so it was a barrier. It is a barrier. Because once we say, you know, my church or my temple or my mosque or my brand of religion knows who God really is and the others don't, even if it is the most loving version, what we do is we try to validate and solidify a concept, when in fact who and whatever that God may be can only be felt and understood through experience alone. And that, my friends, I am convinced of. And what we do is we take these profound experiences and we try to make a committee out of them. We try to make a community out of them. We try to make an organization, institution. I have no doubt that someone like Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, who began the Reformation, probably had a profound experience of God. Or a John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement. But when these people and others go to unpack those profound experiences, their only avenue for understanding them has been these models of God that we insist on. Oh, excuse me. You know, I even hear people talk about things like non-dualism, which really lies at the core of finding meaning. But they will still hold on to theological and religious notions about God. I'm not judging that. What I'm saying is these notions are so deeply woven in our psyche that most people aren't willing to question them. And I think you have to. You know, if there is such a thing as faith, it must include a questioning of what you believe and the capacity to reject the things that don't make sense. Certainly the capacity to listen to that higher voice, that more authentic voice. So there you have it, part one. What we're going to try to, if I remember, what we're going to try to talk about in part two are the other barriers that come from that notion. So, for example, as sort of preparing you for the next podcast, we perpetuate notions of God. Then we build things like morality around them. We, and I'm not just talking about like the Golden Rule or the Ten Commandments. That's pretty solid stuff. But I'm talking about all of these dogmas and all of these judgments we place on human behavior, that we say that this superior being that's the gray-haired old man says we should or should not do, that those are, you know, those are just concepts and ideas like theology, my friend. And when we base our life in love, it opens up all sorts of ways in which we can be human. Anyway, that's a teaser for the next podcast. I'm going to go jump in the shower and get ready to start my week. Have a good week, my friends. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. See you then. Bye-bye.